The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and all done without any manipulation, because we don't try to solicit money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join anything. But we would like to ask you to listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. I think the show today that I want to bring to you might be the single most important show you'll ever hear in your life. I think it could be today, could be the one. I remember the day that my life changed back in August of 1967. I had dated a girl that I thought was going to go out and have a good time with, and turned out we went to church, and I didn't really get much out of church, but after church I went to a home Bible study, and it was there that my life changed, because it was there I heard the good news that God loved me and Christ died for me and paid for my sin. And I received Christ as my Savior that night. That was the night that Rick Hughes, the guy talking to you, was born again. That's the night my life changed. Today, I would like to explain to you what you can expect if you will make the decision to receive Christ as your Savior. I want to talk about that. I might not get to all of it today. But if you do ever receive Christ as your Savior, there are certain things you can expect that will happen. But make no mistake about it. Receiving Jesus Christ is the single most important decision that you'll make in your entire life. And no, I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. What I'm talking about is a term you very seldom hear used today. I'm talking about you being born again. Even the brightest religious minds often don't understand this life-changing experience of the new birth. What is that and what does it mean? In the Bible, we find John's account of Christ's impact in ministry when talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews. Nicodemus himself was a very brilliant Jewish scholar, but even he was unaware of this phenomena that the Lord Jesus Christ called being born again. Listen to you to me as I read this recorded conversation from John's epistle. Listen carefully. John 3:1-3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or Rabboni, teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles you do except God be with him. And you would think what Jesus would try to justify, and you're right, and you're exactly right. But that's not what the Lord said. Here's what Jesus said to him. Listen carefully. Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Whoa, wait a minute. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This concept of being born again was completely foreign to old Nicodemus, and unfortunately, it's still, even today, foreign in many religious circles. The Pharisees, of course, emphasized keeping the law of Moses by the way to earn God's approval, and that was tantamount to earning your way to heaven by observing the laws, which referred to the 600-plus commandments and regulations in the books of the Torah, especially from Exodus to Deuteronomy. But after Jesus gave him an illustration about a physical birth and a spiritual birth, he was still confused. He still didn't quite understand what he was talking about. And unfortunately, that's what religion will do to you. It will confuse you. And so Nicodemus, in his confusion, after Jesus told him to be born again and explained it to him, Nicodemus said these words in John 3:9, How can that these things be? How is that even possible? And here's what Jesus said in John 3:10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Are you a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? Wow, what a condemnation. We have the same confusion today in many of our religious institutions. Being born physically is different from being born spiritually. But a spiritual birth, which we've got to understand today, a spiritual birth is needed because we are spiritually dead. That's why you have to be born again. You are dead spiritually. And if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have a relationship with God, you must be born again. My question is, have you been born again? You say, well, I'm not dead. What do you mean I need to be born again? I'm not spiritually dead, but listen to Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, 2:4-7, said this. Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, D-E-A-D, dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Romans 5:12 says the same thing, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. What that means is that you are born spiritually dead. I was born spiritually dead. I was born physically alive, but I was born spiritually dead. And I needed to be born again if I was going to have a relationship with God. So these verses demonstrate that man is born physically alive, as I said, but spiritually dead. And that means we're incapable of having a relationship with God, regardless of how good or moral we are. Why do I say that? Why can I say being good and being moral will not let you have a relationship with God? Because of Isaiah 64:6. We are all as unclean things, and all our righteousnesses are as a filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There's nothing you can do to impress God. How can imperfect righteousness impress perfect righteousness? If God is perfectly righteous and you're perfectly unrighteous, how can you impress him? Because you don't drink? Because you don't cuss? Because you don't smoke? Because you go to church? Because you tithe? Does that impress God? No. If you have not been born again, you will never see God. You will never have a relationship with God, and you will not go to heaven unless you are born again. You understand that? In Romans 3:10, the Bible says, as it is written, there are none that are righteous, no, not even one. So I want you to think about the nicest person you know, the most moral person you know, is not righteous, not in God's eyes. It's impossible, because perfect righteousness can have nothing to do with unrighteousness. So that means we are incapable of attaining eternal life and fellowship with God by our own means, regardless of how morally good we are. In order to have fellowship with God, our dead human spirit, the one that happened because of Adam's original sin, imputed to us at birth, that dead human spirit must be made alive again. And that only happens by means of a new birth, or by being what Jesus told Nicodemus, born again. In John 4:24, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How is it possible for me and for you to worship God if our human spirit is dead because of our relationship to Adam? Romans 5:12 says it that way. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You and I are born spiritually dead, and we must be born again if we want to have a relationship with God. According to Revelation 20:15, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Being born again is what's referred to as being saved. Being saved. You've heard people talk about being saved. Saved from what? What is it talking about? Are you saved, brother? Saved from what? Saved from being condemned to the lake of fire is what they're talking about. Because unless you're born again, you will force the justice of God to condemn you to eternal damnation at the great white throne of judgment. In Revelation 20:15, as I just read, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's a person that has not been born again. Because if you have not been born again, your name was removed from the book of life when you died physically. So this means there are two deaths and two births, physical death and spiritual death, and physical birth and spiritual birth. So either you're going to be born twice or you're going to die twice. It's your decision. How do we escape eternal condemnation? How is it possible that we don't have to go to the lake of fire? How can we be delivered from the lake of fire? Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to the ones who are in Christ Jesus. In John 3:17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What is that talking about? Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is the act of being born again. Receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior is the act of being born again. Thus, we are guaranteed a new birth by receiving Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This is what happened to me in August of 1967. I was born again. No one on the outside could tell. I mean, I was still the same big, ugly guy. But on the inside, I had a new heart. I was made alive in Christ Jesus. And all I did was say a simple prayer that I was believing that Jesus Christ died for me, and I was willing to put my faith in him and to receive the free gift of salvation that he gave me. I was born again. That's what it takes. Have you been born again? So what does it take to be born again? What does it take? In 1 John 5:11 and 12, here's the mechanics. And this is the record, the proof. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in Christ Jesus. He that has the Son has eternal life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if I receive Christ as my Savior, will I be born again? Yes. And what are the mechanics to receiving Christ? What do I have to do? Do I have to join up? Do I have to fess up? Do I have to get baptized? Do I have to give up drinking, smoking, cursing? I mean, what are the mechanics? Romans 10:13 tells you clearly what the mechanics are. You want to be born again? Here it is, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever done that? Have you ever personally went to God the Father and said, I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you haven't done that, you are not saved. You are not going to escape the lake of fire until you make that decision to put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It has nothing to do with how good you are. It has nothing to do how moral you are. It has nothing to do with how much money you give. It has nothing to do with how you help your neighbor. It has to do with what Jesus Christ did on the cross where he died in our place. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, was made sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God through him. What a tragedy if you've lived your whole life thinking you were going to heaven because you're a good person and you have not been born again. What a tragedy. Have you been born again? I ask you again. Or have you mistakenly thought that God's going to give you eternal life because you're morally good? You attend church, you tithe, you help people in need. Is that enough? Matthew 7:21-23. Matthew recorded these words, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day," that's the great white throne judgment, in Revelation chapter 20, "Lord, Lord," here it is, "have we not prophesied in your name?" This means that even preachers may not be born again. "And in your name, have we not cast out devils? And in your name, have we not done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, those of you that work iniquity." It is very possible that a preacher may not be born again. It is very possible that a deacon may not be born again. It's very possible that a preacher's wife may not be born again, or an evangelist's children might not be born again. Have you been born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's only one way to do it, and that's by faith. So what did that verse say? "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That's an interesting verse. Only the ones who do the will of the Father can go to heaven. Well, what exactly is the will of the Father? Jesus told us in John 6:40, "This is the will of the one that sent me." Listen, are you listening? "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You don't have to be in church to be born again. Many folks that I know have experienced the new birth in places you could not imagine. Some in football stadiums, some at Christian crusades, some in high school gyms at Christian assemblies, some while at home reading their Bibles, some in prison cells. Wherever you are at this very moment, you could have it happen to you. You don't have to be in a big Christian crusade and go forward and raise your hand. You don't have to join up and fess up. You just have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Only your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross will allow you to be born again. That's the only way. No other way. Calling out to God in a simple act of faith can be done anywhere, anytime. I know people that did it in a deer stand. I know the people that did it around a campfire. I know people that did it in a boat. Just pray. Pray. You could do it right now. Right now, this very minute, you could pray and tell God that you believe Christ is his anointed Son and that you believe he paid for your sins on the cross and you would like to accept him as your Savior. Would you want me to help you do that? If you do, let's pray it together. Just bow your head wherever you are and pray this prayer with me. Just say it, do it with me. I'll say the words and you repeat it after me. Okay, in privacy, not out loud. Just in privacy. Say, "Heavenly Father," go ahead, say it. "Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ is your anointed Son. And I believe he died on the cross for my sin. And I wish to accept him as my Savior." Did you just pray? Did you repeat those words after me? I promise you, you're not going to feel electricity run through your body. You're not going to hear harps, but it did happen. It did happen. How do I know it happened? How can I promise you that it happened? Well, 1 John 5:14-15, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Let's go back to what Jesus said. This is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe in me whom He has sent. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You just ask Him to save you from the lake of fire. You just ask Him to deliver you from death and eternal damnation. You just told Him that you were willing to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You ask Him to save you. You told Him you wanted to be born again, not in those exact words, but that's what happened. Your spiritually dead human spirit is now alive because of the faith you put in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Those verses in 1 John 5:14-15 are your divine guarantee that God will indeed answer that prayer and you will be born again, saved from eternal damnation in the lake of fire. All because of one thing and one thing only. Because Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, died for you, died for your sin and my sin. And by praying that prayer, we are accepting His free gift of salvation by faith, not by works, by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says, not by works, lest any man should brag about it. Remember this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:22. As in Adam, all die, so as in Christ shall all be made alive. As in Adam, all die, and so as in Christ shall many be made alive. If you prayed with me today, I would love to know that. I would love to know it as soon as possible. I wish you would just pick up the phone and call me at 800-831-0718 and tell me, Rick, tell me your name when you call. I prayed with you this morning and I asked God to save me. I have been born again today. That would be the greatest news you could ever tell me. Or you could write to me at P.O. Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. That's P.O. Box 100 in Cropwell, Alabama. The zip code in Cropwell is 35054. 35054. Or if you like to use a computer, you could email me. You just simply go to Rick@RickHughesMinistries.org, Rick@RickHughesMinistries.org. That's my email address. Let me know something as soon as you can. Why? Because I want to send you a free book I've written, a book that will help you understand what comes next. Because this day, the day that you were born again, is just the first day of your new life in Christ. There's a lot more to come, and I would like to give you some direction in regards to what God expects from you now that you have become a member of His royal family. There was so much more I had to learn the day that I accepted Christ. I had never even had a Bible. I never even read the Bible. Someone gave me a Bible, and I began to read it in the book of John, and it was almost like God was speaking to me from the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get one. And if you don't read your Bible, read in the beginning in the book of John and see if God will speak to you the same way He spoke to me. If you know a pastor, let him know you did that. Tell him that you prayed to be saved today. You asked God to save you and you were today born again. This is the first day of the rest of your life. And you need to understand this. You have now move to the other side. You're no longer on the side of the enemy. Now Satan is going to be a little upset at you because you made a decision to trust in Jesus Christ, because you made a decision to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do everything he can to distract you. He He will do everything he can to make sure that you don't read that Bible. He will do everything he can to make sure that you don't get under the ministry of a good pastor. Make no mistake about it. He will not like this. But you are now free from the penalty of sin and the penalty of death. Not because you're good, not because you did anything wonderful, but because of the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, where he alone paid for my sin and your sin. And because you and I have accepted that and received him, we were born again. You have a new life in Christ. Can you lose it? No, you will never lose it. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My Father which gives unto me is greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He will never turn his back on you. You may turn your back on him, but he will just love you from behind. You are now in God's royal family. You were born again today because you put your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. You were saved today. Saved from what? Saved from going to the lake of fire. You were rescued, delivered. No longer do you have to face that. Now you have eternal life with God the Father, and you have a wonderful future in front of you if you will learn God's word and you learn it and use it and let God use you while you're still in the devil's world, because you're behind enemy lines right now. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Has this made sense? Did you pray with me? Did you ask God to save you? Were you indeed born again today? If that's so, contact me immediately. Let me know as soon as possible so I can send you this book, Crash Course in Basic Christianity. You'll understand exactly what happened, and you will understand exactly what's going to happen. There's a lot more I need to say about this, and hopefully in the next show we'll get into a little more in depth about what you can expect now that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Congratulations on this day being the first day of the rest of your life. Thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.